My name's Andy Bretz. How many of you here are from First Family? So a good number of you. Awesome. How many of you are not from First Family? Super. I love seeing guys come from like, what was your name? I missed your name. Atreyu? Atreyu. Atreyu here. He drove all the way down from Sioux City. And Lyle over here is from Wisconsin. So that's awesome. Thanks for being here. Andy Bretz, I attend First Family. I've been here for be close to 3 years now. I live in Des Moines, actually quite a ways away from Ankeny. We live clear down on Easter Lake, my wife and I do. And I own a van rental business called Rent a Van. And so that's what I do. I just want to tell you about my journey as a believer. It started when I was 5 years old. My mom was part of Bible Study Fellowship, and I was, of course, carted along with her to Bible Study Fellowship, if you're familiar with that ministry. It's awesome, awesome ministry. And they had a kids program, and in the kids program, shared the gospel. And at age five, I heard the gospel and very clearly understood, I want to have a relationship with God. And so accepted Jesus through conversation with my mom. We lived in Indiana at the time, and we attended a very spiritually dead Methodist church. The Bible Study Fellowship had nothing to do with that particular church, but we were at a church where I heard Bible stories, but that was it. Didn't learn anything about following God. We moved to Nebraska when I was just shy of 10 years old, and we started attending a very fundamental Bible teaching church. And starting at age 10 and all the way through until I was 20 years old, all the way until adulthood, had a great foundation in the Word, hearing the Word taught and being told how to apply it to my life. And so I began to do that. I like to say all the time, if the church was open for students to be there, then I was there. That was my social life. I didn't do a lot of stuff with school. I went to public school and all that, but I was heavily involved. Actually started a Bible study in my high school. I went on all the missions trips, got to go to Ecuador for 3 weeks when I was a sophomore in high school, went on all the retreats, all the camps, everything, ski trips, whatever I could do. And I only dated Christian girls from the youth group, right? Because my parents made it very clear I could not date a non-Christian. It was not allowed. And so I only dated Christian girls from the youth group. I say that sort of tongue in cheek, but I took it seriously. They said, if you happen to go on a date with somebody that's not a believer, you can only go out with them 3 times. And then you have to end the relationship, right? Because beyond 3, you've gotten too far in love with the person and now you aren't going to be able to just cut it off quickly. So go all the way through high school like that, start college. By the time I get to college, I actually started dating a gal who was not a believer. It was a very casual relationship. We weren't serious at all. I worked at Target, and in one afternoon at Target, one of the girls that worked there who I had flirted with came up and asked me on a date. And I said, I don't know. And she said, I've got tickets to an REM concert. It's a band that played back in the 80s. For those of you who are too young to know, it's kind of a cool rock band back at the time. Want to go to this REM concert? And she said, but here's the caveat. I don't have enough money to pay for your tickets. So you'd have to pay for your own ticket. And I said, well, thanks, but I don't like REM. And so I'm not going to go to the concert with you, because I already had this other girlfriend, right? So I wasn't desperate. And so I, batted her away. About 2 weeks later, I'm working at Target on a Friday night, and a call comes. I worked in the camera department, the electronics department, and the phone call comes in, and it's that same gal. Her name's Danny. And Danny's on the phone, and she says, hey, How late will you be there tonight? And I said, I don't know. It's Friday night, and you know, usually don't get out of here till like 11 after the store closes. And she said, you want to hang out afterwards? Okay. And so we had our first date. Won't go into all the details. Had our first date and got together. And that was the beginning of a 27-year relationship. So 28 years. So we dated for three times, and she was not a believer. So I shared the gospel with her, was at her house until about 2 a.m, and she accepted Jesus. I don't know. I'm going to say it was real because I watched it transform her life over days after that. This is not by any means an advocacy for evangelistic dating. Just so happened to be what happened in my life. So so she became a believer. We continued to date, got engaged, got married, and did all the things. Had, you know, we moved to Mason City, Iowa for a short while. Don't move to Mason City, Iowa. It is it's unbelievably colder than Des Moines, like significantly colder than Des Moines. I don't know why. You go an hour and a half north and the temperature drops like 15 degrees, but it was really cold. We were there for 8 months. Our first child was born there. We moved back to Nebraska where it's a lot warmer, and lived in Nebraska then for a long time. And so over that course of time, had a number of different jobs, but one of the things that was always true in my life and in my marriage was that we went to church and we served in the church. I was actively involved in a number of ways. Worked in youth ministries with little kids, which I don't like to do. I then worked with high school students for, gosh, close to 20 years, which I love doing. I'm just too old now to keep up with them, and so I don't do it anymore. But I worked in that ministry for a long time, went on missions trips. I was on a planning committee for the church. I was the lead usher for a while. I was a deacon of student ministries. I then became an elder in our church. Was heavily involved in church ministries, all the while working in the non-church related world. So just had a secular job, if you will. And my relationship with God has always been important to me. This was something that was very critical. So go through all my life as an adult. My kids, I've got two daughters. They grow up and they move out of the house. And over that time, my marriage has been steadily declining. Just it's been less and less vibrant. The relationship between my wife and I was getting more and more strained, and I didn't like it. And it created all kinds of tension and, as you might imagine, arguments and disagreements between my wife and I. There were nights where we would separate and sleep in separate beds. I went and spent the night at a hotel one time trying to convince her that we needed to do something, and just nothing was changing. And so that continued. We got married in 1990. Fast forward, we're all the way in 2017 now, 2017 and 2016, excuse me. I said to her, you know, we need help. We need to go to counseling. And she said, I'm not doing it. And I said, well, I am. So I went to the church that we were at the time and said, I need some help. And they put me together with the marriage counselor that the church had. And I went in and sat down and talked to him for about 90 minutes. And we talked through all the things, told him all about our marriage and the ups and downs and the highs and lows and all that. There were some great times, 27 years. We had some awesome parts of our marriage and our life. But there were some really, really low points in our marriage. And we were at the bottom. And so I go through all of that. And he's been listening, and He says to me kind of towards the end of the session, this is going to be hard for us to do much to improve your marriage if your wife's not willing to be a part of the conversation. And I said, I know, but what can I do? And he goes, let's continue to meet and talk about this. And he says, is there anything else that, that you want to share? And I said, well, you know, it's probably worth noting, I have had a little bit of a problem with pornography. And he put his pencil down, and he looked up at me, and he said, that's where we need to start. That's what has to change before anything can change in your marriage. And that church, thankfully, had a ministry called Pure Desire. It's the same ministry that I was talking about before. And so the first thing that he had me do was join the small group accountability group. It's different than the Sexual Integrity 101 class that I talked about. But I got involved in that group. And through that process, I was able to extricate the problem with pornography from my life. And I share that story in this room because I've read the statistics and I've talked to dozens of other Christian men who have a very similar story. I share it because if you are like most other Christian men who have a struggle with some kind of unwanted sexual behavior, might be pornography, it might be something else, it's been something that you have kept in the dark, hidden for your entire life. You don't want anyone to know that exists. Certainly not your spouse, not your friends, not your small group leader, not your pastor. Okay? It is between you and God. And you don't even want God to know, but guess what? He does. And the reason that it's important to talk about and to think about and to realize is because you can't overcome a sin issue if you keep it in the dark. Okay? The Bible is very clear. Confess your sins. Tell other people. It's why I do this. Believe me, it is not fun to sit in front of or stand in front of a group of peers and reveal that darkness from my life. I don't enjoy it. But I don't want to leave, I don't want to leave my experience out. And what I said before is that in order to have a healthy relationship with God, you have to eliminate the sin from your life. So the thing that has been most amazing about the experience of getting away from that struggle with pornography is the way it's changed my relationship with God. It was really important to tell you I had one. Okay, God used me. I mean that I don't mean to sound braggadocious. I just know God used me over and over and over again in spite of my sin. Okay? I wasn't unable to serve God. I was not unable to be used by him. Go back to the Old Testament. Read about all the Old Testament saints. There wasn't a one of them that lived a godly life, right? Except for Enoch. We don't know much about what he did, but he walked with God and then he was gone, right? Every other Old Testament saint had a mess in their life, but God used them in sometimes enormous ways. We heard about Solomon. Solomon was one of the most powerful men to ever live, wrote some really amazing parts of the Bible, and he was a fatally flawed individual. So God used me. So it's not that God can't use us if we have a sin issue in our life. You know what the problem is when you have a sin issue in your life that you don't deal with? You don't get to experience the relationship with God the way it's meant to be. Okay? You don't get to have a close, personal, intimate relationship with God the way he designed it. Go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Okay? God created man to be in a relationship with him, and they had unfettered access. God came and walked with them in the garden on a regular basis. And then we sinned, and that relationship was dampened. And that's what my relationship with God was like when I was struggling with sin. I didn't know it. I had no idea. About in fact, it was 17 years ago. I had LASIK surgery. I wore glasses from age 13 all the way to age 40. And then I had LASIK. And I woke up the next morning after having LASIK surgery, and it was unbelievable. I could see everything clearly. And that is what it's like to get rid of a sin issue in your life. You suddenly hear God's voice differently. You hear God's voice. That was one thing that I didn't experience almost ever prior to getting rid of that sin issue in my life. And if that's not enough to convince you to make the change, I will tell you that not having that sin issue in your life will allow you to enjoy a sexual relationship with your spouse in a way that you can't when you have that sin issue in your life. When you are struggling with behavior that is outside of God's intention, it affects the intimacy that you have with your spouse. So that's another reason to do it. So I'm going to have Keith come up, share his story. He's got a different angle on this, but has a similar experience. And then if there are questions, love to answer them. So Keith, take it away.
Great. Thank you, Andy. So if you don't know me, I think a lot of you do. My name is Keith Fortenberry. I work for John Deere. My wife is Caris, 34 years of marriage this past December. I have a son named Ben who's 21. And we've been here since 2009. And I'm about to tell you how we ended up here. So Andy and I have a very similar story. And if you've been here long enough, you've probably heard this. So forgive me if I say things that you already know. But I'm going to go all the way back to my childhood. So right before I turned 8 years old, in May of 1976, the same kind of year we were celebrating our 200th year as a country, I actually came to know Jesus Christ and was baptized in my knowledge and understanding that He is coming to control my life. And so my parents growing up, I was in a Christian home. Both of my parents came from homes that were, probably I would say broken emotionally, but they decided, hey, we're gonna raise a family. We're gonna bring them to church. We're gonna be a part of their lives. And I grew up in that atmosphere, which was just phenomenal. And went to church. You know, I always joked and told people that we were in church when it was closed on Saturday morning. That was how committed we were. That's a joke. But anyway, we were not there unless there was a men's conference going on like today. And so, but I grew up in that two sisters, Rebecca and Angela, my sisters, and we grew up together in this loving Christian family home. One day, when I was between the ages of 9 and 10, I was jumping on a trampoline with a friend down the street who happened to have in his pocket torn out pages of pornography magazine. And he showed those to me on my trampoline in my yard, in my Christian family's home. That's when I viewed that for the first time. And at the time it was gross to me. You don't know what to make of that, but it started a lifestyle for me that if other things came up, like self-gratification, I use that for the masturbation word. So if you hear me say self-gratification, that is what I use. So it started this 9 and 11 years old of where pictures from a JCPenney catalog or other things would enter my mind, and I would use that eventually to start doing what would be called self-gratification. And so that began a lifestyle for me early on in my childhood, in my elementary years, that started this, going through this whole time. We were Southern Baptists, so back in that day, late 70s, early 80s, mid 80s, everybody dressed, wore suits. So everybody looked good on the outside, but our hearts were far from God, especially mine. And so I pretended to be the great Christian kid of Archie and Ann Fortenberry, when really my heart was addicted to self-gratification. So I ended up, like all of us did, go to high school, enjoyed high school years, went to college, ended up pursuing a business degree at Mississippi College. I think you're going to see here in my life as well what Matt shared about today is that God's provided for you workmanship in your life. And you'll see that in my life as well. Like Caris, my wife, is from Omaha, Nebraska, but both of her parents went to MC, My parents went to MC, so she's driving 14 hours to go to school. I'm only driving one, and that's how we met each other, is on campus at Mississippi College, and got married. It was really interesting that she was from a divorced family. Her father was a pastor, and he ended up having an affair, and they ended up getting a divorce early on in her life. And so my senior year of college, I felt God calling me into the ministry of all places, to go into the ministry and to start that. And I shared that with her, and she was very scared of that with whatever happened in her life growing up with her dad and her mom. But she talked to her mom about that, and her mom was like, no, you should do this. God is calling Keith into that, and I'm so for that. And not everything turns out, you know, like we did, and having to divorce your father, and just very encouraging for that. So we came out of college, graduated from college to step into seminary. So here I am pursuing a Master of Divinity degree at Southwestern Seminary to learn to be a business administrator and education minister in church. So after that, I started in churches. So my first, when I was in seminary, I worked for a church. All of this is still going on. So I always thought, hey, if I go to college, I'll stop my habit, my addiction. Never stop. If I get married, if I have a wife, it's going to be great because that's going to stop my addiction. Didn't happen. Oh, well, when I go to seminary, of course, when I'm learning how to be a pastor, that'll do it. It'll stop it. No, it continued. And as a matter of fact, in seminary was the early 90s for me. So that is when the internet came around. If you know the dial-up that sounded like a strained, you know, wildebeest coming on. And, you know, you got the slow dial-up stuff. That's when it all happened. And as I was studying on computers, you know, I learned how to access all of that. I was very savvy with IT and computers back then. Ended up becoming a business administrator for churches. So for churches that could hire somebody to do not only the administrative stuff, but also the education part of the church. So worked for 16 years in churches, still having this trouble. So not only personally in my home life, but also in my church life. And it just grew and grew to where it was just literally out of control, where I was spending even time at work involved in looking at pornography, videos and images online and self-gratifying. So but the faithful days, so also in my life, there were times where I shared with Karis what was going on, thought that that would help get out of it. It never did. I didn't share everything with her. You know, there were times where we would go through a spiritual kind of awakening time, and I would confess to her, and I'd get with the men's group and try to get it solved, and it never worked, never seemed to work. And so, you know, I'm definitely of an advocate of if you don't get help or seek help, if you are a child of God, it will be brought out into the open at some point. The Bible is very clear that all things that are hidden will be brought out. And so some of you are seeing that in our nation right now. It's going to happen in our nation, but it's also going to happen in our churches. And so hopefully if you're struggling with that, you'll do what you can to help bring that into the light. Because Satan wants to destroy you and your marriage, and he wants to destroy your family. And the way that he does that is that he keeps that stuff in the dark, and he keeps it a secret. And so anyway, I was hired by First Family Church to be their pastor of mobilization and education here. 2009, we showed up here. And it basically didn't take me 6 months to where I was already acting out online, was caught, was confronted, and I lied. And I was fired by the elders of this church with the blessing of working with me through a health process, like a spiritual process of getting healthy. And so they started that. Me and my wife went to counseling. After that year that we did that with each other, reinstating me as a counselor here. So I counseled for another year. I got involved with John Deere. So what was great about John Deere is that John Deere had all these things in place where I knew good and well if I even tried to act out there, I would be fired the next day. And so churches were notorious for not having that set up for their staff. Now, First Family had that set up for their staff. That's why I was caught. And so thankfully I was. They worked with me, with us through that. And so until this day, what's amazing about that is God completely freed me. It took me getting fired and losing what I had known for 16 years to get my attention to be free. As a matter of fact, I tell Andy this, and I just tell you this because I know God's power. God literally took my mind, whatever happened, and I don't recall images anymore to my mind, things that I've looked at in the past. But what's interesting is I still remember what I saw on that trampoline. And it's almost like God saying, it's still there, but I have this for you. And so as long as I keep things in the open, as long as I have men like the group that I'm working with Andy, then I know that God is going to help me continue in an area of freedom in my life. But it will literally eat you up. And if you don't talk about it now, it will expose you, and other things will happen where you would rather happen if you tell people about it. But anyway, Andy, that is that's my story.
Thanks for sharing.
Yeah,
your story,
absolutely.
Keith. So the last thing that I want to do is to give you an avenue to deal with this. And so anybody who wants to come up right now, I'm just totally kidding. Totally kidding. So we did talk about we're having the sexual integrity class, and that does provide some help. But in addition to that, we do have small group ministry, and it's called Seven Pillars, and it is a very specific curriculum that we work through as a group, and it helps over the course of almost a year to overcome the struggle that you have with unwanted sexual behaviors. We talk a lot about pornography because that's Keith and I's struggle, but there are other things that people deal with and struggle with, and all of them are designed to be helped with. So if you are here today, whether you're part of First Family or not, and that is something that you would like to learn more about, please reach out to myself. If you want my phone number, I can give it to you right now. It's 402-560-2599. I'll say that again when you have a chance to get your phones out. Shoot me a text. Just say, hey, my name is John, whatever your actual name is, and I'd like to visit with you. We will help you get involved in a ministry that way. So one of the challenges within the church, and I don't mean First Family, but the church family in general, is that oftentimes the church doesn't know how to help individuals. So you will hear a lot of men who have had this struggle that they've been told, pray about it and read your Bible more. And that is absolutely part of the process, but that is not going to solve the problem for you most of the time. I can tell you I've talked to dozens of men and heard the stories of dozens more who tried that for literally decades. I'm one. Right? I can tell you that every single time I struggled with pornography, I would ask God to take it away from me. I prayed about it constantly, and that did not solve the problem. It took an intentional ministry. And so if you're here today and you're like, I want out of this, I'm positive you do. I know that you want out of it. You wouldn't come to a men's conference if you didn't want to improve your relationship with God. And so if that's in your life and it's a struggle, let us help you. Let God help you return to the kind of relationship that he has called you to.